All right, I hope everyone is doing well today, and my name is Kevin, and welcome to another episode of The Rare Podcast. And for today's episode, I wanted to for you guys to kind of get to know me better, so I thought it would be a great idea to answer some very deep questions. So I found these questions on journalsmarter.com, and these questions, or they're just saying that these questions basically is a way to get to know myself and to find my life's purpose. So again, I thought I would go over these questions and to give you a little insight about me. There are 40 questions, so I don't plan on going over all 40. Probably do half, but yeah, I skimmed through these, and I'm just gonna kind of answer the questions that I kind of wouldn't like struggle on, and yeah, we'll just see how it goes. So for the first question, it asks, what are some things you've had to unlearn? Wow, that's a very good question. So with me, I think throughout high school, I've forced myself in a way, but I do have the habit of saying sorry a lot. So I, especially during high school, I did say a lot because, again, I was very shy and I didn't really like to kind of open up. And, you know, a lot of people kind of, in a way, intimidated me just because I didn't want to be on anyone's, like, bad side. So apologizing usually kind of helps in a way, just because you apologize, they feel sorry for you because they think you're so nice or there's nothing wrong with you. And you kind of end up on their kind of good terms because, you know, you being kind of sorry and trying to be sympathetic to them, there's no beef or nothing to kind of like fight about, you know. But, you know, kind of going transition from high school to college, that's definitely something I really just forced myself to like stop doing. I mean, honestly, I apologize for things to be sorry for, but like when I say I said sorry a lot, like I was really known as like the sorry kid too in high school. So that was something that I didn't want to kind of bring with me. And you know, especially when I'm applying for jobs and going to college, I want to be more respected. And obviously saying sorry all the time isn't the best thing to do. I still do say it sometimes, like even if it's something small as bumping into someone by accident or maybe being in their way, like, you know, inconveniently, you know, small things like that, I will say sorry. But yeah, I don't say sorry for like everything now. You know, if someone asks me for a pencil, I'm not gonna be like sorry, you know. So that's something, yeah, I did have to kind of unlearn transitioning over, because I didn't want to get like made fun of. And you know, again, applying for real jobs, you don't want to kind of have that like that kind of reputation. So yeah, that's something I did force myself to unlearn. Alright, so next question. What chapters would you separate your autobiography into? Wow, another very great question. So with this, since I'm, again, only 21, I wouldn't obviously do anything like by decades, but I think I would kind of do it by school year. Like elementary, I would do middle school, high school, and then, you know, me now into college. I think every, you know, within those time frames, there was just something I've learned and I've always grown as a person. You know, from being in elementary school, you're kind of learning to kind of grow up a little bit. And then middle school, you kind of learn the wrongs and the right and to kind of learn how to have like tough skin, just because people in middle school were like so fucking rude. So I definitely learned to kind of like learn how to kind of make fun of yourself and to not take things too seriously, you know, and to kind of take some things as jokes and not to be like, if they make fun of me over like the smallest thing, don't make a big deal, you know, just kind of letting things go and, you know, things like that. And then high school, I think obviously my self-discovery, me coming out and just learning about myself more and then learning to, again, open up more. And then now me being in college, definitely learning to be in the real world, you know, kind of having to be an adult and dealing with a lot of things, especially since I'm 21 now, you know, I'm legally like able to do, I think, like a lot of stuff, you know what I mean? So like drinking, smoking, I mean, I don't smoke, I do drink a little, but kind of in that realm of like, if I need to do something, even going to like a doctor's appointment, it's all on me in a way, you know, like there's no need for a guardian at this point. I don't need my parents. So now I'm kind of learning to just really be on my own, but I definitely think if I were to have an autobiography, I would separate it by the school, like school time periods. Yeah, that's something I would definitely do. All right, next question. What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no preparation? So I obviously know the answer to this. I love Selena Gomez, and I think many of you know, especially with the podcast being named after her third consecutive number one, one of the best albums released of 2020, Rare, I definitely could give a 40-minute presentation on Selena Gomez and why she's kind of like a main pop girl. You know, I think she's really set her foot in the music industry. Like, I understand she's not, like, vocally the best singer, and I could see why some music critics or maybe some, like, musicians may not take her as seriously. But I definitely think she's kind of reinvented, like, whisper pop, and she's done things like that to kind of put herself in the music industry to, you know, stand her ground. And she's released a lot of great music that I think a lot of people can resonate with. And again, I mean, she's hitting great numbers. You know, she's had a number one hit single on the Hot 100. She's had a three consecutive number one album hits on the Billboard 200. So if again, I have to give a presentation, which I kind of did. I haven't told anyone this, but during one of my during my speech class in my community college, we had to do a impromptu speech. And I just had, we had to pick from, like, a raffle. And again, I'm still very shy. Like, I don't like to answer, or I don't like to go first. You know, I honestly would rather be, like, second to last, or, like, near the last ones to go for anything. Because I like to see who kind of, like, my people are and how they're presenting. Then, you know, when I know they're doing, like, okay or whatever, then I give myself an idea of how they're kind of present, or not to feel so stressed. You know, if I see a lot of people doing bad, then, you know, I'm not going to, like, worry about it. Be like, okay, you know, I can do this. But I kind of, like, chose, I don't know, I think I should have gone sooner, because there were a lot of topics that I could have answered or could have given a decent presentation on. But I, again, it's my fault for waiting to be basically second to last. So I gave, when I got the raffle, it was, I got two. I had to pick between two. So the first one was sex. And then the other one was celebrity. And I thought, like, what would be the easiest way to kind of, like, pick one, you know? And again, it was very broad. Like, you could have picked celebrity and be like, oh, well, my mom is my celebrity, and then just give a, you know, presentation on that. But again, every time I've done a speech for this class, I always told myself, I want to do a presentation on Selena Gomez in just one way, shape, or another. Like, I just want to, but I know that's so embarrassing, you know? So I was trying to figure out, you know, like, I mean, it was a good moment, because now that I had to pick between two, it's like, now I had this opportunity, but it's like, was I ready to embarrass myself? Or, you know, if I don't ever do this, then I would never get the opportunity to present about Selena Gomez. So it was kind of like, what do you do? So, you know, I told myself, you know what, fuck it. You're never going to see these people again after this class. Or this semester, you're transferring to a university. So most likely I'm not going to see these people anyways. So I told myself, you know what, let's do it. I'm going to regret it, but I'm going to regret not doing it either. So I told myself, let's just go for it. And yeah, I gave my presentation. It was kind of hard because there was no structure when I was supposed to, but there was, you know, it was just kind of embarrassing. I was kind of getting red, you know. Again, that wasn't something I don't think anyone has ever or would think of me talking about. But yeah, I did talk about Selena Gomez. Basically, at the time, she was number one on Spotify with the most monthly listeners in the world. So I talked about that, how big of a star she was, and things like that. But yeah, I got kind of mixed reactions just because, yeah, there was just some people that kind of looked at me like, okay. And there was others that were really surprised. So yeah, it's still embarrassing. I kind of think about it till this day sometimes when I, like, listen to Selena, just because it's like, wow, I just embarrassed myself in front of, like, 30 people. But again, I kind of don't regret it, because if I didn't do it, then, you know, I would basically just bother. Like, in my mind, I would be like, man, I should have just talked about Selena. So I'm glad I did it, but definitely glad that it was over. All right, so next question. If you didn't have to sleep, what would you do with the extra time? Huh. I always think about this too. Well, not all the time, but I've had this thought. But I think if I didn't have to sleep, I definitely would just clean the house and just get done with all my homework. If we're talking about now, that's definitely something I would do. If we're talking about like maybe before, just because again, I was recently in a car accident, so I can't like work out or do anything so active just because I don't want to put a lot of like damage on my body. So I would say that, again, if we're talking about now, I would honestly just want to get all my homework done. I have like so many projects, so many homework, and you know, it's kind of hard to do it when I have to help my parents on like the busier days at work. So it can get a little overwhelming in the sense of like, I work all day, I get stressed, I go home and I don't want to do homework and be more stressed. So I definitely think if I had, like, if I didn't have to sleep, I would get all my homework done, like for the rest of the semester. Then I would deep clean my house. I mean, I have shoes that have like, you know, kind of dirty marks, and I definitely want to clean those off, you know, redo my closet and just deep clean the house. I have no time just because I go to school so much and I work a lot. So, you know, I don't have that time to just kind of relax and or to clean, you know. So I definitely would want to do that if I didn't have to sleep. All right. So next question. What has been the most stressful experience in your life? Wow, this is another great question. Wow, this is kind of tough. I think I've had a couple stressful experiences in my life. I do want to talk about this in another podcast, but basically when I moved to North Carolina, I kind of went through a lot mentally and physically. I think that was when I had to transition from, basically I was in high school, and then from my sophomore year to my junior year, I had to move. And, you know, we moved there to do business for 2 years. But, you know, especially moving during high school when you are transferring as a junior was really tough for me, just because you are now, you know, especially when I went to school there, everyone kind of knew each other. Everyone had their cliques. Everyone, you know, had their like groups. So kind of going there, I was just kind of like the new sorry kid. And, you know, it was kind of hard for me to kind of make friends for that first year. So but yeah, during that time, especially just moving, I got into a lot of fights with my parents, and I mean, it was not the best. So I would say, honestly, if I'm thinking about the experiences I've had now and then back then, that would probably be the hardest experience. That experience kind of lasted me, I would say, like half a year, and I mean, I was just mentally going insane. So yeah, that would probably be the most stressful year of my life as of now. Okay, so next question. Is there something that you've dreamt of doing for a long time? Why haven't you done it? Okay, this is something I've always wanted to do. So basically, I was in elementary school, I was in dance. It was an after school care program. We had like spring shows, winter shows, and I've always wanted to do dancing. So my mom put me in, and I absolutely loved it. I mean, when it came to dancing, it's just something I love to do, you know, listening to music, you know, it's just in like in the feeling. And, you know, especially as a kid, it was just something that I enjoy doing because now I'm with all my friends and, you know, I get to do something fun. Especially back then, I wasn't into sports. I didn't have anything else that I was really invested in besides video games. So doing this kind of like physical active sport was just a very fun thing to do. You know, and I remember doing a high school musical show. We did like Christmas theme shows. So, it, you know, it gave me a lot of opportunity to really express myself without feeling any fear. You know, that kind of helped me, especially me being the only boy in my group at that time, was a little challenging. But again, I just knew like, you know what, this is for fun, like let's have fun with it. But my parents took me out of that because they were afraid that I was going to become gay, which is ironic enough because it was too late for that. So I think something that I dreamed of doing for so long is honestly going back to dancing. I've never done ballroom, but that's something I always wanted to do. I always watch Dancing with the Stars, and I see how they perform, and like, if I was a celebrity, that would be like a show that I would like honestly beg to be on. But yeah, I think dancing, especially ballroom, would be something I wish I could do now even, and even do maybe like a show or something, you know, not like a musical, but I would definitely say like kind of like a theatrical-ish, mostly dancing like kind of concept. But I feel like now for me, it's kind of too late just because I'm kind of moving on with my life in a way of like, this kind of, to me, I feel like there's kind of no need right now just because I have so much going on in my life already and I have a lot on my plate to where like, I don't think I would be able to add, you know, a hobby like this, especially since, you know, it would cost money and I don't have money, you know, on the side to do something like this right now. But maybe in the future when I do get like a decent job where I can afford to do something like this. But yeah, I still dream of doing it to this day. Every time I listen to music, I always kind of dream of like, man, like what if I had a song like this and I dance to a ballroom song, you know, doing like quick step or the tango or just something like that. I just think that would be so much fun to do. All right, so next question. What would you like to change about your family? Wow, this is a very another deep question. There's a lot of things I would love to change about my family, but if I really had to kind of pick one, I would kind of say to give me space. I am the type of person that doesn't like to be bothered. Meaning, if I like need quiet time, I need quiet time. Meaning, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to be near anyone. I want to be alone. I want to function alone. I work best when I don't have, when I'm not surrounded by anyone. In a way of like, especially now my parents are out of town for a little bit. So again, like having the space to just kind of clean the house or run errands, like I don't have to think about anyone else besides myself. And again, helping them at the shop and working with them at the shop and then going to school is a lot on me mentally. So, you know, when I come home to see them basically all day and then coming home to see them again, it's still a lot. You know, I'm like annoyed of them at work and I have to go home to them and act like nothing kind of happened. So definitely I think about personal space in a way of like, if I am upset, I wish they would just understand and like leave me alone. There's days where I'm just very upset in a way, like I don't want to be near anyone, and then they're like, oh, come eat dinner or just come and like be with us, you know. But then I don't think they understand that I've been with them all day and that I just would love this time to just be alone. But I know I do appreciate that they do care for me, but it's just more of like, you know, that mental space and kind of again having that mental breather. All right, let me see what other questions look interesting. Okay, let me see. So this asks if you, oh, this is easy. If you could invite anyone living or dead to dinner, who would that be and why? Well, obviously the answer is Selena Gomez. I've always wanted to meet her. I love her. She's like my queen. I idolize her. Like she's just someone I admire and look up to. So I would definitely want to take her out for a dinner. Yeah, I love her. She was someone I would definitely hang out with. Okay, next question. What are you addicted to? Oh, wow. Let me see. I think, a lot of people would tell me that I'm addicted to shopping. I have the habit of really just kind of buying stuff, especially when I'm like stressed. I kind of like retail shopping. It's therapeutic. Retail therapy. So yeah, there's just moments where I try not to shop, but it's just so hard because I work all day again, and you know, the dress code isn't so strict, obviously, just because I'm the sun there, and again, I still dress professionally, but there's like no strict rule of what I can wear, just as long as it looks nice. So I love sweaters. And every time I see a nice sweater, a nice style, or even like a nice jacket or a nice shirt, that's something I don't want to like pass the opportunity on. I mean, I always wait because I used to work in retail at H&M. So I know that everything will go on sale. But I want to make sure that I'm able to get it. I've had this moment, like this kind of event happen all the time to where I want this, like let's say shirt, but it's a little pricey. And I tell myself, just wait until it goes on sale. So I wait like a couple months, I check back on it and it's still there. But when I wait again, when it like finally sales a little bit more, the size that's sold out on is my size. Like usually I'm a medium, and then a lot of clothes I like usually sell out of those. So I regret because I get mad, and I email some of the clothing stores asking if they're going to restock or, you know, things like that. But since we're they tell me since they're transitioning to a new season, things like that, they're not planning on doing like restocking on those items, but they'll consider like, oh, if you like this design, maybe we'll consider that into our spring or winter or whatever collection. So it's happened. I emailed Banana Republic one time because I like this one ring. Like, it's like a little line that wraps around the arm, and I liked how it had it on one arm. I think it was one arm. And I was so mad because, like, again, the original Banana is a little pricey for me sometimes. So I like to wait until it's on sale. But then it's too late, and then they sell out of the mediums and smalls. And large is just too big for me. So then I get, you know what I mean? And I'm just, like, dying to, like, I want this so badly. But obviously, they're not restocking. But it happened to where I emailed them, and I said, hey, like, I just love this. Do you have another size like this? Or another medium? They say no, but we'll consider this to our next collection. So I think, I forgot what season it was, but I remember when they did come out with their next collection, they had the same style and the same color, but instead of it being on one side, it was on both sides. And instead of one ring, it was two rings. So I appreciate that they possibly consider, like, they thought of me when they were doing this. They're like, oh yeah, this customer likes this, like, we should reinvent or redesign it. So I definitely appreciate that, and I do like that they took the time to really, you know, get my thoughts and my concerns and things like that. But yeah, I love shopping. I do it all the time. I like to shop in bulk. I usually spend like $300 to $400 every like 3 months. So like usually I would say every month I spend about $100. But again, I always need new clothes. Well, I don't always need it, but I like to have new clothes. So that's my problem. And honestly, terrible addiction that I need to fix. Okay, so here's another question. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, and the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? Oh, if I could... Wow, I don't know how I would answer this. Honestly, there's a lot of things I would want to know. It's a very broad thing to say, but whether if my life will be fulfilled, meaning like, will my goals be met, you know, in that general sense. I know not everything will be met, but like, generally, will I be happy? Will I have all my goals met? Will I basically live the life that I wanted? You know, I do hopefully in the future want to have kids, get married, you know, kind of like that spiel. And sometimes I get kind of afraid, like, oh, maybe I won't ever, like, get married, or maybe I won't be able to have kids, you know, things like that. So I would, if I could have, like, one thing to kind of know, I definitely would want to know how my life would be, or, like, generally, like, will it be a good life, you know? But I would never want to ask if I would, like, when I'm going to die, just because I feel like that's just a lot to know, you know? If they tell you're going to die in, like, 10 years, it's like, damn, you know, like, do you then get married because... you know, you want to, like, fulfill it, but then it's going to be a burden because if you do die, that, like, if you know you're going to die and you get married and have kids, it's like, now you're, you know, you're not going to, your significant other is not going to have you. So, yeah, the only thing I wouldn't want to know is death. That's just something I feel like should just happen, and I think it's just the best way. I feel like if you know it, it's just going to be really overwhelming for you because it's like, what do you do with that information, you know? Like, do you go, like, shopping? Do you buy stuff? Or do you save for your next generation of, like, you know, passing it down? So I don't know. Yeah, that's just one thing I want to do. Okay, here's another question. What do you spend too much time doing? What don't you spend enough time doing? What do I spend too much time doing? That's kind of weird. I was gonna say homework. I spend too much time, but then I was gonna say, what don't you spend enough time doing? And I was gonna say homework as well. I think wow, I don't know. This is a very tough question. I guess I would say I spend a lot of time at school in the sense of, like, studying, you know. But then it's weird because I don't think I have enough time to do homework. I guess classwork and lectures and things like that is just, like, it's a lot. So I spend a lot of time doing those and re-watching lectures just so I understand. But, yeah, I don't have enough time to do homework because I work a lot and I, you know, again, have to, like, go to class. So then it leaves me very little room to do homework because I hate doing homework at night, but that's the time I get home. But I always get very sleepy. Usually after, like, 10 o'clock, I don't do anything. I can't. Like, I just, at that point, my brain will shut down. I can't do overnighters. So it's kind of hard. So yeah, I definitely think, yeah, I don't spend enough time doing homework. All right, another question. What makes you feel most alive? Oh, that's very general in a way. I think, it's weird. I think mostly just having my own personal space is what makes me feel alive. When I'm surrounded by so many people, like for too long of a period, I feel drained. I mean, mentally, I just can't do it. I get very upset. With me, I don't hide my emotions. Even though I want to, like, there's just moments too where it's not their fault, and I know it's not, but I just can't help but look upset, you know? So even my tone looks upset, my facial expressions, my attitude. I'm really trying to work on that too, because it's not their fault. You know, no one, especially if they had nothing to do with it, I don't want them to feel, like, upset, or, you know, it's awkward too when they're having a good mood, and I don't want to ruin that. But I definitely think that, I think when I'm alone, I function so much better. I feel much, much happier. So definitely in the future, when I do get my own space, I feel like that's when I'll be the most alive, just because I wouldn't have anyone kind of tell me what to do, and I can kind of do things on my own term, and I don't have to worry about any of those things. So yeah, definitely being alone. Okay, let me see what other questions. Okay, what are you looking forward to in the coming months? For me, I am excited to hopefully start working out. Again, with this car accident, it's put a lot of damage on my body, and it's a very big inconvenience, just because my back sore, even when I'm studying, even doing this podcast, like, you know, my back, my upper mid back, yeah, basically gets tense, gets strained. My neck gets very strained, and right now my left shoulder is very strained. Like, I feel like when I went to the chiropractor, there's like this left muscle on my left shoulder that's just so knotted or so tense, and he's trying to like massage it. But yeah, I'm excited to hopefully work out. That was my whole plan, you know, for 2021, was to kind of get the body I wanted to and to eat right. But it's been a little hard just because, you know, that car accident and, you know, things like that. So I would say hopefully in the next, 6 months, realistically, to be safe, I would definitely would start working out. But I'm excited. I think I'm ready when it comes to working out. I'm ready to kind of have this routine. And, you know, working out really gives me a good, like, motivation. So, yeah, I love working out, but I have to put a pause on that, sadly. Okay, so let's go through, I would say, maybe like 3 more questions. I'm already at the last 10, so answer, yeah, maybe like 3 more. But I think so far I've answered really good ones to kind of get to know me better. Yeah, so let me see. Okay, so this other one asks, what would constitute a perfect day for you? Wow, I don't know. I haven't had many perfect days. It's kind of hard to think, just because I don't honestly think I would get that in a while. But I think for me, a perfect day would be like a nice movie. I want to order the food that I want to eat. I eat a lot, but I would love to just order like different foods from different places and just kind of have them all in one spot, you know? I know it sounds kind of weird, but I would just like a day to for myself. If we're talking about like just one day only, that's kind of like not considering like a daily routine. Yeah, if we're talking about just like one day, I would love to go get like a massage, just kind of like do a spa day, hang out with my friends, hopefully that day too, and family. And, you know, I love board games, so maybe doing like something like that. And again, if I were to like go home to be alone and then watch a movie and order all the food that I love, and then, yeah, just take a nice shower and then head to bed. I think that would be kind of a perfect day of, like, just no stress. Not thinking about work, not thinking about school, and just kind of just enjoying, like, a normal, full, fulfilled day. That would be my perfect day. Okay, what's something you love about yourself? Ooh, that's a very interesting question. I don't know. I think I like that I am willing to learn, and I'm willing to grow. I think a lot of people that I know are very, very stubborn. I mean, I can be stubborn too, in a sense of like, you know, I do have my beliefs, and I stand strongly, but I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to learn. I think that's one something to a lot of people appreciate about me too, is that like if someone has a problem, I'm a very good listener. I'll listen to you and see, you know, give you feedback or see what advice I could give you with my personal experiences. I think too, with even like if I have an argument or disagreement, I'm pretty good at listening and being like, okay, I agree with you on this part, and then, you know, kind of giving my side. You know, I don't want to make, especially people close to me, I don't want it to be like a full-fledged argument to see who's like the better of the argument. You know, in every situation, I feel like there's always both sides being wrong in a way and both sides being right in a way. So I definitely think that I'm glad that, again, that like I'm understanding and I'm willing to kind of learn. I love to learn. I love to learn, especially in the business field. And there's a lot of things that I'm still learning. So if you point something out that I'm wrong, I'm totally fine with it. Just don't be a bitch about it. Then just let me know, and then I'm willing to learn. And I don't take it personally. I just want to grow and be a better person. So yeah, I think for me, I do take it very well in terms of learning and things like that. Okay, let me see what else that I like. Ooh, no. Okay, what do you consider as your biggest achievement in the last 5 years? Ooh, I think in the last 5 years, honestly, I think opening was my biggest achievement. I think now would be, in a way, like my parents, our salon is slowly starting to grow in a way, and we are doing better, you know, in terms of working, like we're getting more clients, we have more workers, and again, we're still following all COVID protocols. But I'm glad that like we are growing as a business. You know, I would have never thought, honestly, in 2 years, like 2 years ago, if you were to tell me like, yeah, you're making this amount and, you know, your salon is growing at this rate, I would have never thought about it. You know, I even had some people tell me, because we are a franchise, so I had one of the owners tell me like, what you guys did number wise is what we did in like the first, like our second year as a salon, it was like their 5 years at the salon. So, you know, we kind of doubled their clientele, technician, and, you know, that kind of consistent like client base. So I'm glad that we are very busy and we are taking care of our clients and we are doing the best that we can during this time, and that, you know, they are leaving good reviews, and, you know, it, like what we do reflects, you know, how they feel, you know, or like, you know, like when we put in good work, they're happy. And I'm just glad that it really shows, you know, with our reviews, how much we're making and things like that. So I definitely think that that is one of the biggest achievements. And it, we're still growing. We're entering in April our second year as a business. But I'm very happy that we've gone this far and that my parents and I haven't killed each other yet. Because God knows, working with them is such a pain in the ass. But I'm glad that we have gone somewhere and that we are growing together and we are learning from each other, and that we will, you know, we're continuing to grow, you know. So I definitely think it's the biggest achievement, and I'm happy. I'm very, very happy that I'm able to be a part of this kind of like business and this kind of history for us, you know, because we haven't had a business like this grow so fast. So yeah, very, very happy about that. Okay, I think there's like two more questions I want to answer. Let me see. What's one thing that could happen today that would make it great? What's one thing that could happen today that would make it great? I mean, it's 11 o'clock right now, so I don't know. I mean, my battery is kind of on a low percent, so I would maybe say like if it was a higher percent, it would kind of make my day great. But if we're talking about now at this moment, there's, I don't think there's much. I mean, I just don't want my phone to die because that's how I'm recording. So yeah, I guess having a full 100% battery, full battery, that would be something. Okay, there is two more, one answer. What was a major turning point in your life? So, okay, with this question, turning points. I don't know what that really means. I think in the terms of like turning point, I don't know. I think I don't think I've had many. I mean, I guess kind of when I moved from North Carolina to Florida, that was kind of like a major turning point, because now you know, we spent 2 years up there for nothing, you know, in the sense of trying to grow a business, and we got like fucked over by stupid people. And, you know, that was a lot for me and my family. So I definitely think moving back was a huge turning point, if I'm answering the question correctly, because now we are able to do the business that we want. And, you know, we did learn a lot from being in North Carolina, but I think, you know, especially moving back down here has definitely changed a lot for all of us, but definitely for the better. I'm so glad we moved back because I fucking hate North Carolina. It's so boring. There's like nothing to do there. And yeah, the people that we were with were just fucking assholes. So I would definitely say, yeah, coming back here was such a big change, and I'm so happy because now I'm back with most of my family and most of my friends. So, you know, I'm glad to kind of be back home. Okay, last question. What would you like to ask yourself? For me, I would ask myself, like, wow, I don't know if I want to get really part. I mean, that's the whole point, obviously, to be like deep conversations, but it's like a lot to kind of answer. Because, yeah, I think this question is very personal. It's very simple, but very, very personal. I think I would ask myself, like, how am I doing? I've gone through a lot. I think, you know, within this year and last year, it's just been a lot on me mentally. Like, I'm like picking myself back up and then I get hit back down again. You know, I've had a lot of family members like basically fuck me over. You know, I had a couple friends kind of like sort of fuck me over. So, you know, especially last year. So it's learning to kind of cope with it. Like, I was coping and, you know, getting over it, but then another thing happens and then it kind of hits me back down. So, you know, sometimes I really don't know how I feel because so much has happened to a point where I feel a little numb from it. I mean, again, I don't think it's, I don't know. I think, I would definitely just ask myself if I'm doing okay, because there's just moments sometimes too where I'm just like, wow, this is a lot. Like, am I feeling okay? You know, like, how should I feel? But yeah, I definitely think, you know, if I'm feeling, like, I would just ask myself how I'm feeling. But yeah, wow, that was very dark. I think I could see why they saved this question for last, just because it's like, how do you answer that? But yeah, okay, let me see. So that does conclude all the questions that I've answered from this. If you want to answer these yourself or go through them, it's from journalsmarter.com. And I do love these questions. I think answering them has really given, hopefully, anyone listening a good insight about me and kind of like who I am in a way and how I think. So I definitely think these questions are great. They are, I think some of them are a little personal in a sense of like, it is a lot to answer. But I'm glad I did, and I'm glad you guys, hopefully, if you're still listening, got to know me better. But yeah, this will conclude this episode of the podcast. So I hope you guys enjoyed. And yeah, I do want to end on a good note. So basically, don't forget to stream Rare, the number one album by Selena Gomez. And thank you so much.